one. I'd like to especially welcome the group from CASP, and may the Lord bless your worship experience today with that it can be an enriching experience for you. And also may the Lord bless you as you continue to work in the coming days. Let's start the service with a couple of songs.
Good morning to each one of you, and greetings in Christ's name. If you would turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13. How many of you came to church this morning knowing full well that you might be apprehended by the secret police who lately have been making a concerted effort to exterminate all the Christians in Reno County? Probably none of us, right? How many of you are aware of other Christians who are facing persecution, be it here in Kansas or another state or on the other side of the world? What goes through your mind when you think of persecution and when you hear of stories of Christians who are undergoing trials? In Hebrews 13, verse 3, I will be concentrating on this verse for this devotional. It reads this: "Remember the prisoners as though in prison with them, and those who are ill-treated, since you yourselves also are in the body." So is it important to remember those who are undergoing persecution, those who are suffering? I believe so. But what is the significance of Paul sticking this exhortation in here in amidst other things that we generally give more attention, such as showing brotherly love, maintaining sexual purity in marriage, and not loving money and the such like? Not to mention, how are we supposed to remember those in prison as though being in prison with them? How in the world do we do that? Is awareness of persecution important? I think so. I would like to give several reasons why I believe it is important. I realize there are a variety of reasons I could mention, but I'm going to list three of them. First, awareness of the sufferings experienced by other brothers in the world widens our perspective. At times in the Christian life, we find it necessary to narrow our focus because previously it was too wide. At other times, we may need to widen our focus since we have incorrectly narrowed it. A person who is either nearsighted or farsighted needs manipulation in order to both be able to see close objects and objects farther away. And ideally, as individuals in a congregation, we want to be able to focus on the needs here at center, as well as realizing that there are other Christians who need our prayers as well. We are just a small part of the every tongue and nation mentioned in Revelations. We here at center make up a small part of the entire bride of Christ. This is something much bigger than ourselves. Second, I believe awareness of persecution in the world, other Christians in the world, gives us hope and significance. In 1 Peter 5:9, we are told to stand fast in our resistance against the devil, knowing that our brotherhood in the world is experiencing the same kinds of temptations. Basically, Peter's admonition is this: look at your fellow Christians in other parts of the world. They are suffering the same things that you are. Whatever you are going through personally, whatever battles you are fighting, take courage, because there are literally thousands of other Christians here and far away who are experiencing the same trials. I believe it gives significance to our body here at Center. When I at Center do not fulfill my responsibility as my role as superintendent, the entire congregation, to a greater or lesser extent, feels the repercussions. Not only that, as a result of my irresponsibility and the marred testimony of Christ, the universal church is affected, possibly in ways that I will never know, possibly in ways that only are visible in the spiritual realm. However, when the church here at Center bands together and is a faithful witness for Christ, not only are we and the world around us blessed, but the universal church is strengthened as well. So the way I live my life not only has an effect on myself and the local congregation here and the society around us, it also impacts Christians around the globe. Third and lastly, it is important to remember be aware of persecution of Christians, because they also are part of the bride of Christ, as I alluded to before. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says that we are members of one another. We are one body. And normally we interpret that as referring to the relationship of individuals in a congregation to the rest of the congregation. And I certainly think that's what Paul was saying, but I think I can say without doing injustice to the text that we here at Center are also a member, part of the greater bride of Christ. And because of that, when they suffer, we suffer. So yes, I think it is important to be aware of ongoing persecution of Christians in other parts of the world, for the reasons listed that I mentioned above. But how do we do this? How do we, as I mentioned before, how do we remember those who are in prison and ill-treated as though we were experiencing the same treatment? Well, the short answer is I really don't know, but I do have a couple of ideas. First, I think it is vitally important that we live according to our needs, not according to our wants. As Christians living in a context deeply saturated with American ideals and expectations, this is one of the hardest things to do. And of course, I'm not advocating that we all adjust our salaries to the same level, because a very poor person can live just as extravagantly and selfishly as an extremely rich person. However, I have noticed in myself that when I am living for my own comfort and enjoyment, it is far more difficult to identify with others who are going through hardships and feel compassion for them. So here in verse 3, I mentioned how Paul admonishes us to remember those who are in prison and those who are ill-treated. Two verses down, in verse 5, he instructs Christians to keep their lives free from the love of money and be content with what they have. Now, because of the format of the first part of the chapter, which is a list of admonitions to the church, it seems to me that unlikely that Paul is making a necessary connection between verses 3 and 5. However, those of us who are adults and have had financial responsibilities know that what we do with this piece of paper or this piece of plastic really does affect our minds and our souls. How we use our money has an effect on the spiritual realm. Jesus wasn't kidding when he said that we can't serve two masters. Finally, the most important reason, or the best way to relate to those in other parts of the world who are being persecuted is through prayer. It is prayer, as much as anything, that changes hearts, both the individual who is interceding as well as countless others. Prayer is possibly the most vital aspect of the Christian life, yet probably the least understood. We most likely will never really understand the effect that intercessory prayer has on this side of eternity. I find it interesting to see in a number of Old Testament characters, most notably Abraham and Moses, how their intercessory prayers seemed to have an impact on how God acted in the present. How all that works out, well, you tell me. But I do believe that it is safe to say that while God is by no means dependent upon our faithfulness in prayer, He allows our prayers to a certain degree to affect, to influence how He acts. And extending that specifically to prayer for ill-treated Christians, when we pray, the persecuted church is more able to stand against spiritual attack. These have been some of my musings recently, and I hope that they will prove helpful to you as you consider standing alongside Christians in other parts of the world. I would like to spend some time as a congregation, maybe about 3 minutes in small groups, just praying for that God would give strength to persecuted believers, and that we would know better how to stand beside them. But before we do that, we may ask the question, well, how do we pray for persecuted believers? What should be the main purpose? What should we ask for? In answer to that, I will give one overarching principle. God's greatest desire is for His glory to be spread, to be revealed to every tongue and nation. Therefore, when we are interceding on behalf of persecuted believers, I believe the primary request would be that God would be glorified. Whether that means increased suffering or whether that means freedom from suffering. And that He would enable them to stand firm in their faith. So let's gather together in small groups, spend about 3 minutes praying, and I will close with prayer after that. Thank you, Father, that you care about each one of us and our struggles and our temptations. Thank you that you also are aware of other situations in other parts of the world. That you promise us strength, and pray that you would give us wisdom and discernment as we learn how to be a part of the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, and what all that means. Pray that you would be with us here and with those in other parts of the globe, that you would strengthen them, that you would sustain them in the midst of trials, temptations, and persecutions. We bless you and we love you. In your name we pray, amen.